Well, it's a privilege to have us here today in the presence of the Lord. Let's look to Him as we prepare our hearts to hear from His holy word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the privilege to be in your presence. The Bible tells us where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in their midst. And we are so grateful for your presence with us. And we are so grateful for the gift of your word that you've given to us to guide us on the path that you want us to walk here on this earth before one day we see you face to face in glory. So I thank you for your Holy Spirit, who is the teacher. I surrender and submit myself to him that he will speak through me and magnify your name, the name that is above all names. And we pray these things in the precious and powerful name of Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives forever and ever. And all God's people said, Amen. Well, many people think they don't need to study the Bible because they have some kind of religious experience or they are trusting in their own feelings. After C.S. Lewis, I'm sure most of you have read some of his work, had concluded a talk to a Royal Air Force company about Christianity, a tough, old officer stood up and said, I've got no use for all that stuff. But mind you, I'm a religious man too. And I know there is a God. I felt him out alone in the desert at night. That's why I don't believe all your neat little dogmas and formulas about him. To anyone who's met the real thing, they all seem so petty and pedantic and unreal, says the old tough officer to C.S. Lewis. Well, please, let's listen carefully. A religious experience like that may make us aware of God's existence, but it cannot, listen carefully, tell us about his nature, his will, his salvation, his unchanging and unconditional love for us. That's why we need the Bible. I personally thank God for making himself known to us through his special book, the Bible, that is the best book of all. Hymn writer Isaac Watts writes this hymn, Great God, with wonder and with praise, on all your works I look, but still your wisdom, power, and grace shines brightest in your book. What a blessing it is for the Creator and the Holy God of the universe to share his heart with us in his word. This is what we have, God's heart revealed to you and to me in his word. Well, this brings me to the main idea of the message God has given me today to deliver to you at this special hour in your life and my life. So please, I want you to listen carefully to it, not just with your head, but more importantly with your heart, where the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, is eager and enthused to plant the seed of God's eternal and enduring truth. In order to do what? In order to change genuine born-again believers among us here today more into the glorious likeness of Jesus Christ, the builder and bridegroom of the church. And to convict unbelievers of their sin of unbelief, gently and graciously leading them to repentance, personal saving faith, and genuine repentance in Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. So here's our message in a nutshell. So please, I humbly ask you or urge you to pay very close attention to it with an open heart and an open mind, willing to what? Accept it and adhere to it in your life. Well, here's the message we are going to see from the beginning of the book of Malachi. And here's the message. It says, God communicates what's on his heart to his covenant people through his chosen messenger. To put it simply, God makes himself known to us through his word. He makes himself known to us through the Bible. Folks, friends, faithful followers of Christ among us here today, and fellow believers in the fold and flock, fellowship and family of God, the Bible is going to concisely and confidently show us today that the one true God of the universe desires and delights in communicating his message to his people through a messenger of his choice in order to make for them to know what's on his heart for them. Oh, how sweet, how special, how precious, how profound. So this is how the message in Malachi begins. We are going to begin our first verse by verse study of this special book of Malachi, and it is going to tell us about God sharing what's on his heart with the sons of Israel through his servant Malachi. So please, if you have your Bibles, quickly turn them to Malachi chapter 1, verse 1. Will you please listen carefully as I recite our passage of study from Malachi chapter 1, verse 1, from the updated New American Standard Bible, which is the most literal translation of the Bible into our English language. The Bible says in verse 1 of chapter 1 of Malachi, it says, "The oracle of the word of the Lord to Israel through Malachi." I repeat, the oracle of the word of the Lord to Israel through Malachi. This is the word of God to the people of God. May the Lord add his blessing to the recital of his holy word. We have before us today a brief and blessed verse of scripture. First of all, it is brief because in the Hebrew scriptures, that is the Hebrew Old Testament, it consists of only 7 words, which read, I'll read a little bit of Hebrew to you today. It says, chapter 1, verse 1 reads, Masa Devar Yahweh, El Yisrael, Beyad Malachi, Malachi. These 7 words are translated into 12 English words in the New American Standard Bible, making it nearly 2 English words to 1 Hebrew word. So if you can read the Hebrew language, memorizing the Hebrew scriptures will be less tedious for you because you don't have to memorize twice as much in the English language as I've just done. So, this is how brief this book is. Well, second, it is a blessed verse of scripture because it contains 3 blessed lessons which we are now about to dig into. So, for the rest of our time here, we are going to dig into 3 blessed lessons from Malachi chapter 1, verse 1. First, it confidently reveals that the book of Malachi, listen carefully, is indeed a communication from Yahweh. You ask, how do we know for sure or for certain that it is a communication from Yahweh and not from a mere man like you and me? I have a friend, he's now in China. He tells me the Bible is just composed of man's thoughts. It's not from God. It's just ideas from all kinds of people put together. Is that true? And how do we know for sure that the Bible is God's word to us? Well, your question is an excellent one. With the help of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Scriptures, we will answer this question in a moment. Second, it is a blessed verse of scripture because it clearly reminds us that the original audience to whom the message is delivered is the covenant people of Israel. Although Malachi's original audience was a community of Jews living in and around Jerusalem, in the province of the Persian Empire called Yehuda, or that is Judah, yet the message was for all Israel, the covenant chosen people of God. So the question is, what is the reason for directing the message to the covenant people of Israel and not just to the Judeans who had just returned from Babylonian exile? You see, these people came from Babylon after over 70 years in captivity. And Malachi was sent to them to deliver a message. But when he began the message, he says, I'm delivering the message not to just a few group of people who just came back from Babylon, but to all Israel. Why? Well, with assistance of the Spirit and the Scriptures, we will address this question also in the course of our study today. And then third and finally, it is a blessed verse of Scripture because it concisely relates to us the chosen messenger through whom Yahweh conveys his prophetic message. The Bible concisely and categorically identifies for us the specific individual Yahweh himself selected to carry his message to his covenant people. Of all the people, think of it, of all the people living in the land of Judah and Jerusalem, nearly 100 years after their return from Babylonian captivity, God, listen, personally chose a man named Malachi to convey his prophetic message to Israel, which is a cross-section of humanity. What a wonderful privilege given to Malachi. He was literally handpicked by Yahweh to be a channel of communicating what's on his heart to others. But do you know that if you are a genuine spirit-filled believer in Jesus Christ, you are also God's chosen messenger, his channel through whom he conveys or communicates his message of life, hope, and forgiveness in Jesus Christ? Your message and my message will never be written in the Bible, as was the case of Malachi. Nevertheless, you and I are channels through whom God works to communicate or wants to communicate his word of love and life, healing and hope, truth and transformation to the people around us who need so desperately to hear about the love of God and the forgiveness of God. Well, having given you a concise overview of our brief and blessed verse of scripture in the book of Malachi, let's now dig deeper into it to discover the relevant and refreshing spiritual lessons the Holy Spirit is so delighted and desirous to impress, listen, upon our hearts in order to do his specific and supreme work of molding and making us more like Jesus Christ, our caretaker. Your caretaker is not the person who people pay to take care of you. Your real caretaker is Jesus. Remember, we sang this hymn, O Worship the King, and it says, thy bountiful care, what tongue can recite? He's your caretaker, and he's my caretaker. So Jesus is our caretaker, our commander, our comforter, our counselor, our cornerstone, and our champion in this present life and in the life soon to come. So we begin, first of all, with his teaching that confidently reveals that the message in Malachi is indeed a communication from Yahweh. Notice the Bible says in the very first words of Malachi, it says what? The oracle of the word of the Lord. It didn't say the oracle of the word of Malachi. Rather, it says the oracle of the word of the Lord. Masa Devar Yahweh. How do we know for sure that the book of Malachi is a communication from Yahweh and not from a mere man like you or like me? Or you may have heard many times some people tell you that the Bible is just a work of man. And I've just told you about my friend in China. He feels the Bible is the work of man. It's not really God. Well, listen carefully. In Malachi chapter 1, verse 1, two key expressions in the first part of verse 1 confidently reveals to us that the message of Malachi is indeed a communication from Yahweh. And the first expression is this word, the oracle, in the Hebrew, Masa. So the question is, what exactly is an oracle or Masa? Well, oracle or Masa appears in prophetic context 25 times. In fact, Isaiah the prophet used it more than any other prophet in the Bible. Most people have no problem believing that Isaiah was a true prophet of God. In Isaiah chapter 13, he uses that word at the beginning of that chapter. He says, "The oracle concerning Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amos saw." Then in chapter 15 verse 1, he goes on again, "The oracle concerning Moab." And then again in chapter 17 verse 1, "The oracle concerning Damascus." Chapter 19 verse 1, "The oracle concerning Egypt." And then in chapter 21 verse 1, he says, "The oracle concerning the wilderness of the sea." And then in chapter, still in chapter 21, verse 11, it says, "The oracle concerning Edom." So Isaiah used this oracle word again and again. Other prophets who used it include Nahum. Remember we studied Nahum? Nahum chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "The oracle of Nineveh." And then in Habakkuk chapter 1, which we also study, it says, "The oracle which Habakkuk the prophet saw." So the word oracle is not a word that is used rarely. It's been used many times in the Bible. The word literally means burden or load, a thing to be lifted up, a weighty message, or a weighted message. It derives from the Hebrew verb nasa, which means to lift up, to carry, or to heave. So here's what all this means. An oracle, listen carefully, is a message from God. You see, the most Old Testament prophetic books have headings or superscriptions which identify the author and indicated that what follows is a divine revelation. Malachi is no exception to this rule. It says, "This message is from God." And the prophet uses a word that most Jewish people know, that when that word is used, that means you are receiving a message from God, the true God of the universe. The translation burden, as some of you have it in your Bibles, communicates the sense of the prophet's responsibility to deliver the Lord's words. Sometimes you tell people, "I just have a burden to share this with you." Well, when God gives an oracle, it's like a burden on the prophet to share, to disclose what God has given to him. In other words, it refers to the heavy sentence pronounced by the prophet of God with implications of urgent responsibility and even dread. In fact, when master or oracle is used technically among the true prophets of God, it signifies that which is a weight upon the heart of Yahweh and also upon the heart of the prophet, which the prophet delivers with a great sense of urgency. So the picture we have here is that Malachi is telling us that he has a weighty message to be delivered. And that weighty message is coming from Yahweh. And he has a sense of urgency to deliver that message to the people of God. Jerome, a 4th century AD theologian and historian, observes on Habakkuk 1 verse 1, which I just read for us. He writes these words. It says, Massa, that is oracle or burden, whichever you have in your Bible, never occurs in the title except when it is evidently grave and full of weight and labor. So the point here is this. By the use of the word oracle or burden, Massa in the Hebrew, which signifies a weighted message from the heart of Yahweh, we learn that Malachi's message is indeed a communication from Yahweh. This is not someone who is just coming up with his own ideas, as my friend was telling me about most of the Bible. He says all the New Testament books, most of them are just human beings trying to write up their own stories in order to enslave people in religion. And Christianity is not about religion. It's about relationship. So the Bible was written not to enslave people in religion, but rather to what? To draw people into a relationship with Jesus Christ. But that's not all we learn from Malachi. The Bible uses another key expression that convincingly makes it clear, very certain, that Malachi is what? A communication from Yahweh. And what is that expression? Notice the Bible says after the oracle, it says the word of the Lord. The oracle of the word of the Lord. Please, let's all say the word of the Lord. Let's say it together. The word of the Lord. Because that's the key in understanding that this is a communication from God. The Hebrew says simply, Devar Yahweh. Now please notice very carefully that the book of Malachi is explicitly identified as the word of the Lord. In fact, all the true prophets of God make that claim, that they are speaking words that the Lord has given to them to speak. And in keeping with this, the word of the Lord, nearly half of the remaining 54 verses of this concise and profound book are punctuated by phrases such as, says the Lord of hosts, says the Lord, or says the Lord Almighty, which is Amar Yahweh Tzevaot, or says the Lord, Amar Yahweh. So you are going to see that as you read Malachi again and again, he says, I'm communicating the word of God to you. And then again and again, you see throughout the book this repeated phrase, says the Lord Almighty, says Yahweh. Why? He's pointing to us that this is a communication from Yahweh, not a communication from man. Mere man like you and me. Bible commentator Elizabeth Achtermar shares this excellent insight on the expression, the word of the Lord. Quote, she says, the word of God is always transcendent, revelatory word that breaks into human life and history from the divine sphere. And until, listen carefully, until God reveals this word, it cannot be known by human beings. Unquote. Until God reveals this word, it cannot be known by human beings. I like that because that is the bottom line of knowing that this book is a communication from God. We would never, listen carefully, we would never have Malachi in the Bible if God had not chosen to reveal it to Malachi. We would never have known the lessons we are going to learn from this book of Malachi. It would have been hidden for all generations. But thank God, he chose to reveal it. And so we have it. And now we can learn from it and know his ways. You see, friends and fellow believers, Malachi's prophecy was not the result of his own convictions or experience. Like the man, the old tough officer, royal officer, was talking about his experience. If it was that man's experience, I don't want to read the Bible. But rather, that the word was revealed or given to him from outside of himself by Yahweh. We are not told how the word of the Lord was revealed to Malachi. Was it by an angel coming to speak to him? Was it through a vision of the night? And all of a sudden, God gave all these words to Malachi? Was it through an appearance of the Lord himself? What Malachi didn't tell us. But what we are confidently and convincingly told is that all of Malachi, from verse 1 of chapter 1 to verse 6 of chapter 4, is a communication from Yahweh. The message originates from Yahweh. It is a message being communicated from the divine sphere into human life and history. So please, as we study the book of Malachi, let it be clear to us that its message is indeed a communication from the heart of the one true and trustworthy God of the universe, that is Yahweh, the self-existing, the self-sufficient, the sovereign and the supreme deity of the universe. He is the one communicating these words to us. You see, right from the very beginning of Malachi, the Bible uses two key phrases. That is, the oracle and the word of the Lord, to emphasize and establish his teaching that Malachi is truly a communication from Yahweh. And that is undisputable. If you truly are searching for truth, when I talked to my friend in China, I said, I don't mind answering your questions if you are genuine in seeking answers. But I don't want to just argue for the sake of argument. I don't have time for that. If someone is genuinely seeking to know God and genuinely open to know that this Bible is from him, well, Malachi tells us, using two key phrases to tell us that this is coming from the Lord. The oracle and the word of the Lord. So the question to the believer in Jesus Christ is this. Do you believe that the Bible is the revelation of God to you and to me? Do you build your life on its timeless and tested truths? Do you cherish God's word as his communication to you? Do you consult the Bible to seek God's wisdom and the way he wants you to live your life here on earth for the time he's giving you on this planet? Do you desire for your life to be shaped by his teachings? Do you depend on the faithful truths revealed in the Bible about God? Do you examine the scriptures daily to draw closer to God? Do you enjoy spending time in reading and reflecting on the Word of God? Do you form your opinions on what is true from the media or from the Bible? Do you follow God's word and way or the world's word and way? Well, because Malachi And for that matter, the Bible says the Bible is a communication from Yahweh. It is the most important document God has given mankind. So love it. Let it change your life. And live it out in your life. I say that to myself as well. Because I believe that the Bible is from God. I do love it. And I want it to, God to use it, the Holy Spirit to use it to change my life. To make me more like His Son, Jesus Christ. And I want to live it daily in my life. And that is why every day when God gives me life, I open this Bible and hear from Him. And then I'll use that as the basis of my thanksgiving, my requests, my confessions, and my supplications for those that God lay on my heart. God lays on my heart to pray for. While having confidently established that the book of Malachi is a communication from Yahweh, the Bible now clearly enunciates that the original audience to whom its message is delivered is the covenant people of Israel. That is why the Bible specifically and succinctly says, the oracle of the word of God, of the word of the Lord, to who? To Israel. Israel. Actually, Malachi begins with to Israel, chapter 1, verse 1, and ends in chapter 4, verse 4, for all Israel. So, to Israel and for all Israel, making it clear to us that this message is for all Israel. As I've stated earlier, Malachi's original audience was a community of Jews who had returned from Babylonian exile and were living in and around Jerusalem in the province of the Persian Empire called Yehuda or Judah. In other words, the message of Malachi was directed to the post-exilic remnant of Judah. But the message is not directed just to the Judeans who had just come or returned from Babylonian exile. Rather, the Bible calls them by the name of God's covenant people, Israel. Israel. They were the ones the message is sent to. So the question then is, what is the reason for directing the message to the covenant people of Israel, not just to the Judeans who had just returned from Babylonian exile and were now living in and around Jerusalem? It's like this hasn't happened to this nation before, and I don't know if it will happen, where you'll be taken captive, deported to a different country, and then after several years, some remnant of the people of America returns. And then maybe when they came back, they were living in New York. And then a messenger came to them and says, the oracle of the word of the Lord to the United States. He didn't just say to these people who are now returning to New York and say, the message is just for you. He calls the whole nation by name. Well, that's what is happening here. A few people returned from Babylonian captivity. They were living in Jerusalem and Judah. But when the prophet came with a message, he says, this message is for all Israel. So the prophet Malachi boldly confers on this people the ancient comprehensive designation Israel, thereby identifying them as accountable for all the covenant obligations and as heirs of all the covenant promises of God. You see, the name Israel is not a political one, but rather their theological identity. It is a reminder that they must acknowledge God's authority over them as His covenant, His chosen, and His consecrated people. The name Israel is also a reassuring reminder of God's enduring love for them. So when they heard Israel, it reminds them of God's assuring love for them, because that's how they were before the nation started divided into two kingdoms. But by the time God gave them this message, he still has them as Israel. So by addressing the message of Malachi to Israel, God is making it clear to the Judeans who had just returned to the promised land and were occupying a small part of the land of Israel, that he hadn't forgotten his covenant promises to all his covenant people of Israel. Actually, the name Israel was used four times in Malachi. In the four chapters, we have four chapters in our English Bible, and the name occurs four times. In chapter 1, verse 1, in chapter 1, verse 5, and in chapter 2, verse 11, and chapter 4, verse 4. I looked at them, it says, to Israel, of Israel, in Israel, and for all Israel. That's how the four times Israel was used, we find those expression. To Israel, of Israel, in Israel, for all Israel. Actually, Israel was the new name given by God to Jacob. You remember that story? After his great struggle with God at Peniel, near the brook of Jabbok, recorded in Genesis chapter 32, verse 28. And then the renaming was later confirmed at Bethel, recorded in Genesis chapter 35, verse 10. The name Israel has been interpreted by different scholars as prince with God. That's how some say it means. He strives or struggles with God. Let God rule, or God strives or perseveres. The name was later applied to the descendants of Jacob. The 12 tribes were called the Israelites, the sons of Israel, all the children of Israel, and the house of Israel, identifying them as what? The descendants of Israel through his sons and his grandsons. You see, folks, whenever God communicates, there's a way for you. Whenever God communicates his message, he always clearly tells us who the message is for. That is the point I don't want you to miss. God is telling the people, this message is for you. The word of the Lord, the oracle of the Lord, the oracle of the word of the Lord to Israel. He clearly tells us who the message is for. He doesn't just speak into the air. Here he tells us that his message in Malachi is originally for Israel, even though at the time only a few people returned to Jerusalem and Judah. I know that some people think that there are lost tribes of Israel. But when God speaks of Israel, he never speaks about any tribe that is lost. He always speaks of Israel as a whole. While having confidently established that the book of Malachi is indeed a communication from Yahweh, and having clearly enunciated that the original audience to whom his message is delivered is the covenant people of Israel, now the Bible concisely emphasizes the identity of the chosen messenger through whom Yahweh conveys his prophetic message. God communicates his message to his covenant people through his chosen messenger. So that is why the Bible says at the end of verse 1, the oracle of the word of the Lord to Israel through Malachi. As we've learned in our overview of Malachi, the name Malachi means my messenger, which is an appropriate designation for a prophet of God. The name Malachi is unique. I found that out, and I was so glad. You ask, what is unique about Malachi? Here is why. Malachi, listen carefully. Malachi is the only person in the Bible who is named Malachi. From Genesis all the way to Revelation, no other person in the Bible is called by this name, Malachi. He's one of a kind. Only one person. I know some people have difficult names, but you find that somebody else has that same name. But Malachi has a name that we haven't found anywhere else in the Bible. He's the only person called Malachi in the Bible. While Malachi was the last Old Testament prophet who preached and prophesied after Haggai, Zechariah, and Nehemiah, about 100 years after the Jewish people returned from Babylon. The second temple had been rebuilt for almost a century, and the people were losing their enthusiasm for worship. Apathy and disillusionment had set in because of the existing messianic prophecies of Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Michael had not been fulfilled. Many of the sins that had brought about the downfall of Jerusalem in 586 BC were still being practiced in Judah. So Malachi confronted the hypocrites with their sin by portraying a graphic dialogue between a righteous God and his hardened people. That is why we are going to see from the rest of this book that this is all is going to be a back and forth. God will say something, the people will respond. God will say, for example, I have loved you. And the people will say, how have you loved us? It's a very combative, argumentative book. Malachi, the prophetic messenger, described his prophecy as the oracle or burden of the word of the Lord to Israel. However, he did not tell us about whether he received it in a vision, or he didn't even describe the mechanism by which God spoke to him. In other words, he does not mention how he received this divine word to us. All we know here is that Malachi had a strong sense of being God's mouthpiece, as any of the prophets who had preceded him, and he often spoke as the voice of God. That is why you hear him say again and again to us, thus says the Lord of hosts. He's not speaking. God is speaking through him. Of all the people living in Jerusalem and Judah, nearly 100 years after the Jews had returned to the promised land from Babylon, God selected a man of whom we know very little to be his chosen messenger, through whom he communicated his prophetic message to his covenant people. And I find that very uplifting. God chose a man who is unknown, ordinary, to be his messenger. You see, God uses and chooses unknown, obscure, ordinary people to do his extraordinary work. That is something I learned from Malachi. He was ordinary. He was not known. He was not popular. And yet God chose him to be his messenger. I can relate to that, because I come from a place where 99.99% of the world doesn't know even it exists. And I hope you can relate to that too, as well. You see, you and I may be unknown, obscure, ordinary, like Malachi, but please listen carefully. Just as God was so pleased to choose and use Malachi to communicate his message to the Jews who had returned from Babylonian exile, or to Israel, so also God is pleased to choose us and use us to spread what? His good news of life and love, healing and hope, of his grace and goodness, of his faith and forgiveness of sins, which is freely and fully available in Jesus Christ. What a blessed privilege to be chosen by one, by the one and only true God of the universe, to be his messenger in such a time as this. Has anyone heard the good news from you recently? And from me recently? When was the last time you were burdened or have a sense of urgency to share the good news of Jesus with others? Well, Malachi had served God's purpose for his life in his generation as God's chosen messenger to communicate God's message to God's covenant people, Israel. Guess what? Believer in Jesus Christ, it is now your turn and my turn to serve God's purpose in our generation as God's chosen messengers to communicate his message to those who desperately need it through the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. God has left you here for a reason. He's left me here for a reason. If God were done with you, he would have taken you to heaven right away. But because he has a plan for you, and that plan could be to use you to tell someone about the love of Jesus. Now, if you are not a born-again believer in Jesus Christ today, God's good news of life and love to you is this. The Bible says, by this the love of God was manifested to us, or in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. And he also says, he who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. You see, God in his love for you is offering life in his Son, Jesus Christ. You cannot have the life, that is eternal life, without having the Son, who is the eternal Son of God. How do you have the Son? Well, it's simple and straightforward. A little child can't even understand it and have the Son in his or her life. Simply admit to Jesus today that you are truly a sinner. Acknowledge to Jesus today that you cannot save yourself by being good and doing good things. Accept today Jesus' free and full offer of forgiveness on the basis of his death on the cross, his burial to put away your sins, and his resurrection from the third day to bring you into a right standing with a holy and righteous God. And the Bible says you'll be saved and set apart for his purposes in this life and in the life soon to come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Bible, your word to us. Father God, I thank you that you desire to reveal yourself to us. Yes, you can send angels to reveal yourself to us. But Lord, you have also given us your Bible, your word, so that we can know what you want in our lives and what we can expect of you and what your expectations are of us. I thank you for this dear, blessed group of believers who constantly, regularly meet to learn from your word. I thank you for their encouragement to me. And I pray, Lord, that you will encourage them to continue on this path of learning from your word and allowing you to change their minds, their hearts, into line with your will. And I pray that you will do the same in my life. Thank you, Father, for giving us a desire to learn, because this life is a life of learning your ways, so that we can be ready to meet you and celebrate you and not waste our lives here on earth. So I pray, Father God, that in this coming week of Thanksgiving, Lord, help us to be people who are ready to share our thanks. Why we are thankful for this season is because God did so much for us, sending his Son to be our Savior and to prepare a place for us so that when our life here on earth comes to an end, we will have an eternal home to be with you forever. May your name be praised and glorified. Now, Lord, I pronounce your blessing upon your people. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each person today, tomorrow, till we meet again. And all God's people said, Amen.